Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, what if your direct says no to a change? Part one of one.
The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when my direct says no when I ask them to change? How do I help directs get comfortable with changing? And can a direct professionally resist change?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Organizations who expect to hire significantly in the upcoming year may want to bring Manager Tools in to deliver our effective hiring manager training. Our guidance outlines how all play a role in the process to get the right person in the role, not just a person in a position. Our training covers organizational responsibilities as well as behavioral interviewing techniques with practice to ensure all understand the importance of getting the right talent and experience into your organization. Contact Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more about pricing, guidance, and our availability. So, Kate, we're here to talk today about what happens when you go to deliver the Manager Tools feedback model. Can I give you some feedback? When you do this, here's what happens. Thank you. Or can you do that differently? Specifically, can you do that differently? And our direct says no to the last question. Can you do that differently? And in terms of, I know. Folks, we're going to talk about this. That's the fear. It's a fear.
That's what everyone is afraid of, is that that will happen, especially when you're first starting. It's like, you imagine it happening. And that's a question we get so often.
Often. So let's give you guys an example just so that you can kind of see what we're talking about. So the feedback model, can I give you some feedback? Say they say yes. So you say, when you miss a deliverable deadline, your teammates have to delay and their work depends on yours. Can you work on that? And your direct in this case responds by saying no. Which, to your earlier point, Kate, if you're the manager and you just had no said to you, it feels like a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Seems like kind of a big deal. Folks, we're here to help you out. Really, it's not. That's what we're going to address today. Not that big a deal. We'll show you how to deal with it.
Yeah. And if you think about that question for a minute, can you work on that?
Yeah.
The answer, the truth is they can.
Mm-hmm.
They're capable of working on delivering their stuff on time.
Yeah. We're lacking desire to do so, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time to say no.
Yeah.
Because actually, physically, you're probably capable. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about it. Here's what we're going to cover in this area today. First, don't worry about it. Second, don't engage immediately.
Yeah.
Always a good recommendation when you
might angry, disengage.
Chapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Third, write it down. And then fourth and finally, talk them through consequences in your one-on-one, which is, you know, it's another reason why sometimes we recommend that you give a lot of feedback in your one-on-one. You have many, many more opportunities and there can be some good time to do it in a one-on-one.
Yeah,
and we really hope that everyone who's listening understands that at Manager Tools, we recommend you do not give any feedback to any directs with whom you're not doing one-on-ones.
Correct. Yes. And we always recommend, if using the Manager Tools feedback model, you deliver it verbally.
Yes.
As opposed to email or text message, Slack, one of those types of IM messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, always verbally. All right. So let's start with the first part, which is everyone's biggest fear. Folks, don't worry about it. We want to be clear, very, very, very clear about the situation we're addressing here. We're talking about a direct who's agreed to hear the feedback. So when you asked, can I give you some feedback? They said yes, but then says no to making an effort to change when it's negative feedback. This is not an upfront no to the receipt of feedback. That's a totally different thing, completely different story, and we have guidance on that. The podcast is called Being Told No to Feedback. It does happen, and like this, is again, not actually that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
In fact, in that case, if you ever had that happen and you've been working really hard to build trust with your directs, you can remind yourself that it's a sign that your drugs trust you.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, right? In some cases, it might be.
It could be the way.
Their own little version of the shot across the bow.
Yeah, exactly.
What we're talking about here, though, is also not the same thing as being told no repeatedly to feedback. This person is accepting of hearing feedback.
Correct.
Which means, in our minds, that they're willing to think about change. They're willing to accept that they have room for improvement, like everybody else in the whole wide world. Being told no repeatedly to feedback is more serious. Mm-hmm. And you'll be fine if you follow our guidance, which is, no surprise, named when a direct repeatedly says no to feedback. So we've got two casts here for the other use cases. Others,
yes.
Which are being told no to feedback and when a direct says no repeatedly to feedback. This, though, is a different thing.
Yes.
They've accepted hearing that, hey, you have room for improvement. And now when being asked to shift their behavior, change their behavior, work on it in this case, they balk.
Yes,
exactly. That's not fair. They verbally say no. Because it's not necessarily the same thing as balking. Mm-hmm. That's different. Could be.
Yeah. Agreed. Now, folks, the biggest thing to keep in your mind when it comes to this situation, they've said no to the second question, is do not overreact. It is not a big deal. It is really not a big deal for a lot of reasons. The first of those reasons is we've never heard of a single instance of this ever happening to anyone ever. Never.
In fact, never.
We've been asked about it all the time.
Goose egg. We
get asked about this in every effective manager conference we run. Recently, I got an email about, hey, what if this person says no when this? And the question is, did they actually do that? No, but what if they do? We've never heard a manager tell us that their direct said no to the change their behavior part. So you've got that going for you, which is nice. It probably will never happen. We're really here to ease your concerns around the what do I do if it does?
Because when we talk about feedback to people, because most managers haven't used it, most of the managers we're talking to in public conferences or even in client events, when we go to these events, we suggest it's a behavioral change for the manager and they imagine it in their mind. They play it out. And of course, when there's behavioral change involved, the person who has to change their behavior, the manager, worries because it's a change and change is hard. And so there's this, is this the right answer kind of mentality? And when you think through that, you think to yourself, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah, where are all the possible ways this could go wrong?
And because you already have anxiety about it or concern about it, it plays into you imagining it going forward negatively.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What if I did this, then they'll do this. And you have this negative connotation of it in your head. Mm-hmm. And so you imagine that they're going to say no.
Yeah.
And in fact, our data suggests that that is almost not ever going to happen. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
It could happen.
It could happen. It could happen to you. Unfortunately, I almost just said, and I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, if it happens to you, please let us know.
Yeah, please let us know.
And we'll, send our condolences.
Right, well, you'll be the one to our data set.
The one guy or gal that it happened
person.
To.
I know. Poor person. Really, really bad.
We have no data.
No single instance of this happening.
And why has it never happened? Probably because even when directs push back, they understand that the basic idea, the principle that your boss is required to give feedback stands, that that's true. And that they, as an employee, as a part of the system, are required to receive it.
Right. It's the way it works here.
Well, and in all systems, right? I mean, we constantly are getting input, output. That's a function of organizations.
Right.
So many things that we interact with provide feedback to us, and we adjust based on them. As humans, as organisms in the universe, we have this experience daily. Yeah. It's not shocking. They may not like it. They may be thin-skinned and get their feelings hurt and get defensive, which is defensiveness is the main thing I see or hear about.
Agreed.
Because here, our directs, I find her, they know coming in that they're going to get feedback. Yeah, so there's not a lot of defensiveness going around here.
Yeah.
But overall, directs
understand
the concept and their responsibility within the cycle.
Yeah. No matter where you work, you don't have to work in manager's tools to know that, my manager is going to give me feedback and it's my job to accept that feedback. Generally, it's probably one of the reasons this doesn't happen. But also, and this is going to resonate more with those of you that know well the feedback model. If you don't know the manager tools feedback model, you may want to go back and listen to those podcasts. But maybe an even more important reason, or one of the reasons it happens more, is when you're following the manager tools feedback model principles, you're only giving feedback about things that are small, tiny course corrections. The analogy we sometimes use is driving a car. It's like what your hand is doing when you're driving down a perfectly straight road. You're not weaving all over the road because your hand's not whipping back and forth. Rather, it's moving these small incremental adjustments. Mm-hmm. That's what feedback is like. We don't give feedback about serious incidents like a physical altercation in the workplace or lying or cheating. These are not examples of opportunities to utilize this small corrective manager tools feedback model. So
some things are too big for feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a podcast for that too.
Of course we do.
Yeah, of course we do. Exactly. There's a podcast for when not to give feedback that will walk you kind of through this. But because it's such a small thing, if we're using this tool at all, we're asking for a small change. It's not outside the realm of possibility that your direct would say, yeah, because you're not asking for the world here. It's just a little change. Of course, they're like, yeah, sure, I can try that. It's little.
Yeah. Everyday stuff.
Yeah, everyday stuff. Exactly.
Everyday stuff. Mm-hmm. Things that, especially I find too, a lot of processes, we're making incremental changes to processes, constantly improving them as part of our striving to be better, right? I mean, these are things that, to some extent, I don't know about you, I find these are also things that directs would bring to you to say, oh, you know, what if we did this better?
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about feedback as small wins and losses, the loss you're pointing out, in most cases, will be obviously small to your direct.
Yeah.
And they're highly unlikely to take a stand on something trivial. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the hill I'm going to die on today.
Yeah.
Being 30 seconds late to the stand-up.
And that is the defensiveness thing, which, again, superhuman, really normal.
Yeah.
We see that happening. We say highly unlikely, and I specifically said obviously small to your direct because, again, we've never heard of this happening. Yeah. Also, because there is some emotion at play sometimes in the way people react.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So even though given 2 hours, they don't feel defensive and it's not a big deal, in the moment, sometimes we have outsized emotional responses, which is totally human. So
exactly. It's a human thing. Exactly.
Yeah. And because feedback is about small things, managers oughtn't react big to a small deviation from a small discussion.
Yeah.
Basically, any single instance of feedback isn't a big deal.
Correct.
Any small hiccup in any single feedback conversation then isn't a big deal.
Exactly.
If these are incremental changes, 2-5%. Okay. Well, then a deviation from something that's in a 2-5% conversation is what? 0.1%?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's small. Exactly. Fine. Yeah. And then ultimately, there is also the fact that we can't discount, again, the why have we never had any of our directs ever say no to this second question. We also find that briefing your directs before you ever use the feedback model greatly reduces these kinds of issues around receiving feedback. Mm-hmm. That is, it would make sense that none of the people in our community who know and are using the manager tools feedback model have ever got a no to the second question, because if they're doing that, they probably briefed their directs before they started using it. And managers who brief in advance get a lot less pushback than managers who just start doing some sort of new feedback behavior out of the blue one day, in part because when you brief them in advance, directs understand what you're doing and what's happening to them. Whereas if you don't brief it in advance, directs don't understand and they don't know what's happening to them. They feel risk, and that risk combined with the role power differential is a factor to be considered, which can cause additional outcomes like them saying no to the second question, for example, that are far less likely to occur if you brief in advance. We also have a podcast called Brief Before You Change, which walks you through that concept.
Yeah, the idea that if you know what's coming, you can be ready for it, if you know why and you know what it is. And that really is reassuring for people in all areas, right?
It's decreases defensiveness, sets people at ease, any number of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's also just so much more likely that they'll meet your expectations if they're aware of them.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
If you verbalize your expectations around the process, they know what you're expecting. And so a little bit, it's like a agreement that we're working on this together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Especially if
we're getting buy-in before we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we recommend you answer their questions. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to have questions, that kind of thing. And we're all moving towards the same mission. Why wouldn't we want to be engaged in processes that improve our ability to get there? So all of those things. And again, so much of this is just us reassuring you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember, though, this has never happened. So we don't recommend that you spend a lot of time worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it does happen, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
So really don't worry.
Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Don't have to use any brain cycles on this particular issue, concern.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Plus, we have the answer anyway, just in case it maybe does happen. So all that to say, if you're the first manager that this ever happens to ever, you could be. We want to make sure that you have the tools that you need in case you're that first guy. You don't want to be the first one. Exactly. We're here for you. So we recommend you use the principles in our guidance about disengaging when a direct pushes back, rather than trying to overcome the no or argue the no. Use our shot across the bow guidance and ignore and diffuse the possible confrontation. Mm-hmm. Disengage from that moment immediately and make note to revisit later. I mean, oftentimes, and you probably, as recipients of some form of feedback, know that immediate moment when you retort when your manager says something, and a couple of hours later, you're like, yeah, they were right. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done it that way. It's an immediate reaction. So don't, in that moment when they say the no, for example, should this ever happen, immediately take part in a conversation about the no right now. Disengage.
Yeah. Rather than trying to overcome the no or argue the no, use our shot across the bow podcast guidance and ignore and diffuse this confrontation. It is so funny to, if somebody says something sassy, to watch their response if you say, oh, interesting. I mean, I've seen people like physically react to me saying something like that. Like they just pull away because they're baffled by your lack of, it's just like the human reaction is to then roll with that argument.
And some managers will, right? In that moment of a heightened emotion, I'm going to call it. Some managers will engage.
And
the key here is not to engage. So behaviorally, if they say no to, again, the last question, respond with something like, oh, okay, no worries. We'll talk about it later. Mm-hmm. And just literally walk away. Like, that's
change the subject.
Yeah.
Move
exactly.
on.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you need to say something else because you're like, well, that's really awkward, just like do that and then walk away, you can absolutely say, you know what? This isn't a good time to talk about it. No problem. We'll talk about it later. Mm-hmm. And again, Walk away. Just end the conversation. Do not engage in the trying to win them over and convince them today, right now, in this moment, that them saying no is not appropriate.
Yeah. And you and I's directs are remote. And so my usage of this technique has only ever happened to me over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really said, oh, interesting. Because in my mind, what I was thinking is, well, you have control of your arms, right? If you and you're listening and you're doing this remotely over Zoom or Teams or FaceTime or WebEx or whatever, just change the subject.
Yeah.
Move on to something else or say, hey, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
And switch topics. Okay, then, because you've been imagining this in your mind, because we know it's not happened.
Yeah. Yeah, we're making up a hypothetical landscape for you now.
Mm-hmm. Since we're imagining, mm-hmm. you're thinking, what if my direct persists?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
follow
well,
you down the hallway.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm just imagining a direct persisting and what that might look like.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. Everything's fine. Remember, don't overreact. That's mm-hmm. the first rule. Don't overreact. This is a small thing. You're in charge of this conversation and you don't have to debate your direct if mm-hmm. you don't want to.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't want to, because if you think about this, it's a playground game. It's like they want to engage in an argument and their premise is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
They are capable of working on it if we use our very first note at the top, right?
Yeah.
Of the hour. Their premise is invalid. So engaging with them is a bit like, I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah.
Playground stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't have to do that.
You don't
that.
Have to.
It's Mm-mm. sticks and stones. Mm-hmm. And if they persist, you could say, hey, listen, this is not a big deal. I asked you to change and you said no. Now's not the time to try to reach agreement. Let's talk about this another time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
Now,
simple.
We are going to come back to it, obviously, and have a more thorough discussion. The first thing we want you to do is write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Since this situation is no doubt a surprise, it would be to us, but it's worth making a note of it. This is outside of what would normally occur. So you want to make sure you note this. The best way to do it is to add it to the list of your topics in your next one-on-one. And this is true, folks, even if they said no when you're addressing it in a current one-on-one. That is, we talked about virtually what that might look like. I mentioned they might follow you down the hallway. Let's say, for example, there's a situation where you're delivering the piece of feedback in your one-on-one, which in sentence number 4, they respond no to.
Mm-hmm.
You would still disengage from having that conversation in today's one-on-one, mm-hmm. write it down and address it in next week's one-on-one.
Yes.
That time, that space will help you do what you need to do to address it. And again, diffuse the situation. Just because now is a good time to have the conversation doesn't mean it's the right time to have the conversation. You still want to diffuse that initial heightened emotion mm-hmm. by, you know what, we don't have time to talk about this today. We'll cover it next week, for example.
Yeah, it's much, much better mm-hmm. to disengage, let that moment of tension and conflict pass
mm-hmm.
rather than engaging and continuing when tension may cause things to be said on either side that are bigger than the feedback.
Exactly. It's a little piece of feedback. It doesn't need to turn into a whole big thing.
I find too, so much of the time, given a couple of hours, defensiveness fades.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
So if that's where they're coming from, mm-hmm. it fades very quickly. It's a spiked initial emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes away. And I find that the response of the person who's presented with defensiveness usually causes defensiveness to go up.
Oh, yeah.
If it's
I agree.
Poorly done. Whereas a complete disengagement from it is like, oh, okay, well, it's baffling to people, right? They expect that other person to step forward.
Yeah.
It's worth remembering that the beauty of the manager tools feedback model is that no single instance of this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Our systemic feedback guidance tells you how to address a direct who continues not to change, when you've asked them politely and professionally to do so. It is Hall of Fame guidance. It's classic and has been praised by many listeners, hundreds of listeners over the last 20 years. You probably never get there to the situation where they continue not to change. Mm-hmm. Directs figure out that they can't resist forever. And these are usually very reasonable requests.
Yes, exactly.
Small daily things are both simple to execute on changing mm-hmm. in many cases and incremental in right. ways that are finite. It's also nice to have it in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So again, another reason not to worry.
Right.
Because you'll know what to do when it's time.
Exactly.
Systemic feedback.
Exactly.
Y'all, you're running out of time to register for M Conference. October 9th and 10th, we'll be in the DFW area. We're hosting our executive level event, the M Conference, and we'd like very much to invite you to come and see us, meet the Manager Tools speakers, learn from fellow executives, and really hang out. 2 full days of content and networking, plus Mark and Mike. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, so now along the trajectory of this hypothetical conversation that we're trying to paint for you, you've tried to give feedback in any way, shape, or form, using the Manager Tools feedback model, but in any venue possible. It was in the hallway, mm-hmm. it was virtually, it was in a one-on-one. You've adjourned, if you will, for a week, and now you're in the next one-on-one, ready to have that ultimate conversation about them saying no. Now, folks, I'm going to get Kate to read to you what we think of as a script, something that as a manager, if this happens to you, you could say to your direct. Hmm? It's long. Be warned, it's long. So if you are a licensee, a Manager Tools licensee, in fact, you can print out the show notes for this script that Kate's going to read to you, and you can edit it, and you can tweak it, and you can read it out loud a couple of times, and you can do that. And because you have this, let's call it a week, potentially, between the event occurring and the conversation happening, that's plenty of time to go to your computer, type in the name of this podcast, print it out, and read through that a couple of times. But again, in this follow-up conversation, we would suggest you say the following to your direct.
About that feedback I gave you when you refused to change, I was surprised because I am asking for a relatively small change here, a minor adjustment, and your refusal to work on behaviors that would benefit you, our team, and this organization worries me. By the way, aside from the script, at this point, we would guess that they would admit that they overreacted and they're fine with the feedback. They surely know that continued resistance to such a small thing is unsustainable.
Yeah. Generally, but say they don't at this moment immediately respond with, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. We would continue. Mm-hmm.
More paragraphs. Your response surprised me. I'll admit that. But I know you know that you have a responsibility to improve your performance when you make a mistake. Resisting it doesn't change either your or my responsibility around this situation. We're all obligated, you, me, everybody else here, to seek effectiveness and efficiency. And to create trusting relationships with the people around us. And when our situation changes, all of us here have to change what we do and how we do it to seek out new goals. And that includes you. You too have a responsibility to change with your environment. And the way organizations work, I'm responsible to point out the changes you need to make. It's a huge part of why bosses exist, to point out when behaviors are helping and effective and efficient, and to point out when one of their team members gets off track. The external customer can't do it for everybody. The CEO can't do it for everybody. And so we have this organizational structure where everybody has a boss who speaks for the company. And in our portion of it, that's me. I've been doing my part, but in this case, you're not been doing your part. You have a professional obligation. It's part of your job to improve your behaviors when necessary. Clearly, you know this. You come in for your performance review every year. So here's how I'm going to proceed forward. I'm going to continue to give feedback in this area. And if your pattern continues, we're going to continue to have conversations like this one. But there are other consequences as well if this continues. It's up to you how this goes. I'm keeping track of all your feedback and whether you agreed to change or not. I have to. It's my job. And you're behaving unprofessionally by refusing to do part of your job, which is adjust the behavior continues over the course of the next few months, for example, I'll not only continue keeping track, I'll probably have to brief my boss on what's going on. I'll give him an overview of the amount and kinds of communication you're refusing. That will be helpful to me and the organization if your behavior continues. Do I want that to happen? No, of course not. I'm asking you to make a small improvement, and that's what I want, and it's what you should want. Let's also be clear, you and I, about what will happen if your behaviors continue. At the end of the year, I will have 20 or 30 more instances where I asked you to do your job and you refused. It's going to be very hard for me to give you any kind of meets expectations rating on your annual performance review when you're not meeting this foundational part of your job and everyone else's job here. Your review will reflect that, and it will be a review that I'll have to defend. But of course, I will have read my boss into what you've been doing, and I will have ample evidence over many months of your failure to change your behaviors. And when you complain, probably to HR, here's how it will look. You'll be angry and complain that I'm mistreating you. I'll have 20 to 30 pieces of data compiled over the last months, and there will be a three-way dance between you, me, and HR. And you're going to lose that argument. I don't want that for you, and I know you don't either. But at that point, there will have been a long history of you not doing your job and a record of it. And now, a less than stellar performance review on top of both of those things. And I can't imagine you wanting to fall on that big of a sword just because you don't want to change this one small behavior. I'm hopeful you'll come around. I believe in you. Please think about this.
And then you just move on to the next topic. That's it. And folks, you might be thinking, whoa, that sounds like a lot. Okay, a couple of things to keep in mind. One, Kate was not flying off the handle. At no point did she raise her voice. This is, in fact, being video recorded and going on our YouTube channel. If you'd like to go watch Kate's voice or watch Kate's face as she does it, she doesn't get red. She's not losing it on this direct. Yeah. It's just very matter of fact. Now, it might also seem like a bit much. Remember, this isn't real. This has literally never happened to anybody we know ever. We're trying our best to come up with a, this is what you would say if it happened. It's probably not going to. So now you have this in your pocket just in case you come to this moment where we have to have this follow-up conversation. What do I say? Mm-hmm. And you say what Kate just said. You move on to another topic and you be at peace with it. Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to say no again. The chances that they're going to say no in the first place are very, very, very unlikely. So
yes,
let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
And things will go back to normal and it'll be fine.
Right. This truly will likely never happen to you.
Yeah.
It has never happened that we're aware of in 35 years of using feedback guidance. But if it does, disengage and talk about it more fully when the tension is lessened. And please, if it does happen to you, let us know. You'll have been the first and we'll want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And we're here to help.
You're our unicorn.
Yeah.
Our feedback unicorn.
Oh, I bet they're so pretty.
Yeah. It sounds really bad though. I really, really don't want it to be you. It's probably not going to be. Let's face it, it's not. But now, if it does, you know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Erin.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week for a brand new topic. Bye, everyone. Thank you.